Bhagur Vacha Yan Mayaya Gahanaya Apahrata Atma Bodha Yan Mayaya Gana Gahanaya Apahrata Atma Bodha
Yan Mayaya
Yan Mayaya Gaganaya Prahatatma Bodha
Yan Mayaya
Brahma Adaya Tanu Britaha Tamasi Sopanta Brahma Dayas Tanu Britas Tamasi Sopanta Brahma Dayas Tanu Britas Tamasi Sopanta Na,
na
Atman Shritam
Tava
Vidanti
Aduna
Api
Tatvam
Na Atman Shritam Tava Vidanti Aduna Api Tatvam Natman Sritam Tava Vidanti Aduna Pitatvam
Natman Sritam Tava Vidanti Aduna Pitatvam
Sa
Ayam
Prasidatu
Bhavan
Pranatatma Bandhu Soyam prasidatu bhavan pranatatma bandhu
Soyam prasidatu bhavan pranatatma
bandhu Soyam prasidatu bhavan pranatatma bandhu
Soyam prasidatu bhavan
pranatatma bandhu What do I mean? Brihu vacha
Sri
Brihu
said
Yat U Maya ya,
ya
by illusory energy. Kahanaya insurmountable. Apahrata
stolen.
Atma bodha
knowledge of the constitutional position.
Brahma adaya Lord Brahma. Etc. Tanubrita, embodied living entities. Tamasi, in the darkness of illusion. Sopanta, lying down. Na,
not.
Atman, in the living entity. Shritam,
situated in.
Tava,
your.
Vidanti,
understand.
Aduna,
now.
Api,
certainly.
Tatvam,
absolute position.
Sa,
you.
I am
this.
Prasidatu,
be kind.
Bhavan,
your lordship.
Pranata,
Pranata
Atma,
surrendered soul.
Bandhu,
friend.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Sri Bhrigu said, My dear Lord, all living entities, beginning from the highest, namely Lord Brahma, down to the ordinary ant, are under the influence of the insurmountable spell of illusory energy, and thus they are ignorant of their constitutional position. Everyone believes in the concept of the body and all are thus submerged in the darkness of illusion. They are actually unable to understand how you live in every living entity as a super soul, nor can they understand your absolute position. But you are the eternal friend and protector of all surrendered souls. Therefore, please be kind toward us and forgive all our offenses. Purport. Bhrigu Muni was conscious of the scandalous behavior exhibited by each and every one of them, including Brahma and Lord Shiva, in the sacrificial ceremony of Daksha. By mentioning Brahma, the chief of all living entities within this material world, he wanted to state that everyone, including also Brahma and Lord Shiva, is under the concept of the body and under the spell of material energy, all but Vishnu. That is the version of Bhrigu. As long as one is under the concept of body as self, it is very difficult to understand the super soul or the supreme personality of God. Conscious that he was not greater than Brahma, Bhrigu included himself in the list of offenders. Ignorant personalities or conditioned souls have no choice but to accept their precarious condition under material nature. The only remedy is to surrender to Vishnu and always pray to be excused. One should depend only on the causeless mercy of the Lord for deliverance and not even slightly on one's own strength. That is a perfect position of the Krishna conscious person. The Lord is everyone's friend, but he is especially friendly to the surrendered soul. The simple process, therefore, is that a conditioned soul should remain surrendered to the Lord, and the Lord will give him all protection to keep him out of the clutches of material contamination. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakya Sakshurinmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrijatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sagitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Raghuna E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Rishabhanu Sudha Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Seeking the blessing of all the assembled Vaishnavas, like to speak something from this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification. So yesterday I was thinking that I want to go to Bhagavatam class, but I didn't realize that I'll be sitting this side of the audience. So, but anyway, it's a good. It helped me to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here, the Lord Vishnu appeared and each and every devotee is glorifying. Bhrigu Muni is saying that everyone is under the clutches of Maya. So if you see in this world, there is only two people are happy. One is who is foolish, who is crazy, who don't know what he is doing. He may be in a different state and he is completely happy because he is untouched by any of the happenings or, you know, dealings of this material world. And the second person is the self-realized person, because he is self-satisfied and he is happy within himself. But most of the people, including me, are in between these two. We are struggling to existence. So this whole life is a game. This game is nothing but, you know, survival of the fittest. You know, it's a very common, we heard every time. We struggle for existence and survival of the fittest. So this is actually Prabhupada writes about this in 8th canto, 5th chapter, 23rd verse in the purport. So Prabhupada says, survival of the fittest. Now what is survival? Survival means to be fit. And who is fit? Who is survive? Now what is the probability of everyone surviving in this world? The probability of death is 100%. No one can survive. Then where is the question of survival of the fittest? So he says that in the purport, to survive means that we have to understand the eternal constitutional position, that we are eternal soul. So if you understand that, then you can survive. Otherwise, this game will continue, you will come again and you will be struggling to exist. Because as you see in Bhagavad Gita itself said, from Brahma to the insignificant ant, they are coming again and again. So any living entity is coming into this material world, we should understand, he wants to enjoy separate from Krishna. He wants to enjoy. And this body, identification of body is nothing but, it's like have you played this game? You know, snake and ladder. Most of us would have played. So the ladder means it will help us to go up, and the snake means it will help us to come down. So similarly, when we are trying to understand that we are not this body and doing some activities on that line, that means we are elevating ourselves or going in the ladder. Every time we do certain activities which will make us to think that we are this body, that means we are stung by the snake and then we are coming down. So our goal is to go up. So every time we want to catch the ladder. But then there are activities which will make us to come down. So but then we have this we know certain, like for example, if you are practicing Krishna consciousness for some years, you are like, I was hearing a lecture, it was said, it was the dark night of the soul. Dark night of the soul means that earlier we had some sense gratification and then there was a taste for sense gratification. So senses have some taste, but intellectually we are not very convinced. So then what happened? We come in contact with devotees, we read some scripture, we hear about the chanting of holy name or the process, or devotional activities. So there is a conviction in intelligence, in an intellectual conviction, but there is no taste. So like a midway, you know, earlier we had taste but no conviction, but now we have some conviction but there is no taste in devotional practice. It's like, you know, someone, you know, saying, okay, you know, there is a tunnel. Imagine there is a tunnel. And the tunnel means, you know, many of us would have traveled in a tunnel. Like, you know, it goes in one side and then it comes out another side, like a train or something, for example. So someone is saying, okay, you enter this inside and then, you know, you further go in this path and then you will come the other side. So then we took up the Krishna consciousness or spirituality and then we enter this tunnel. And then in midway, if the tunnel is having a yes turn or, you know, a turn or something, so we are in the midway. So whatever we have come, we have lost the light and we don't know whether the light is there or not. And in a state, that, you know, in a precarious condition, both sides are dark. We can't go back where we started because we know that is not the way of living. And we haven't got the real taste for Krishna consciousness and we are struggling. So that doubt is there. So the doubt is a sign of intelligence. If a person is intelligent, he has doubt. So there is two functions of intelligence. The first one is to doubt. So when proper, even in the Vedanta Sutra, it talks about Atato Brahma Jignasa, that one should inquire about one's spiritual, about, you know, questions. We see from Srimad Bhagavatam or in Bhagavad Gita, the whole conversation is about question and answer. It's not like a monotonous or someone is just dictating some relevant question. Even the first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam is questioned by sages. They ask some relevant question which is benefit for themselves and for all the humanity, all for the common people. So asking question. So you have doubt, you ask question. But then when we get the relevant source and correct answer, then we are satisfied. But we still doubt, then that is our unfortunate condition. Then the second is determination to do certain things. So, you know, if you speak to people from Indian subcontinent, they know, I am not this body, I am soul. Krishna is God, Krishna is there, spiritual practice is there, and I have to do. But they lost this determination to do it. Their intelligence is not that, you know, tuned. So that intelligence which helps us to determine to go in the path is developed when we read Prabhupada Purport or when we read the Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. So that will actually help us to determine to stay in devotional service and move forward. Because when we read Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or Prabhupada books, it actually gives that intelligent conviction and it gives that spiritual strength to fight back against Maya. That's why we have to read, so that we, our intelligence is sharpened. So, you know, like, and there's a story that a person was given an axe to cut the tree. So, you know, he spent most of the time in sharpening the axe because it helps him to cut the tree fast. So similarly, we also have to sharpen our intelligence by reading Srila Prabhupada books. So then, when we are in that darkness of illusion, Prabhupada talks about that, we need faith to move forward and we need that intelligence. So Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna that you, Arjuna, boldly declare that my devotee will never perish and there is no doubt in that. Krishna is clearly saying, Arjuna, you tell this, that my devotee will never perish and there is no doubt. You don't have to have doubt. Krishna is giving this assurance. And Krishna also saying in Bhagavad Gita that if you surrender to me, then what is impossible, that is, surpassing Maya, is possible. Without surrendering to me, it is impossible to overcome. It is actually not possible. Because Maya is also a devotee of Krishna, is also an energy of Krishna, is a representative of Krishna. As a small living entity, we don't have much power to, directly declare war. Prabhupada says, one time Prabhupada gave a speech, very bold speech, that I will kick on the face of Maya. And then he himself was praying before the deities. And then, the devotees asked Prabhupada, what you are praying? And Prabhupada is saying, please save me from this Maya. Yes, for when we are in preaching purpose, we say statement so that there is a hope for people who are listening. But for oneself, has to be humble and pray to the energy of Krishna and pray to Krishna. That's what here the last statement says. Simple process. Therefore, it is that a conditioned soul should remain surrendered to the Lord and the Lord will give him all protection to keep him out of the clutches of material contamination. So the material contamination, so if you see in Vedic literature, the whole Vedic literature can be divided into three sections. So one is Sambandha, then the Abhidaya, then Prayojan. So Sambandha means, who am I? Who is Krishna? And what is the relationship between me and Krishna? It also includes, what is this place where I am? It's like the environmental scan. What is my relation of me to the whole universe? So you are understanding the relationship. And then Abhidaya. Abhidaya means that a process which will enhance the relationship with God. So you need a particular process. So you understand yourself and then you have a process and then you have the prayojan, that is goal. So goal is love of Godhead. Now I was thinking that love of Godhead, that means love Krishna. So it is difficult. For example, if you know a person, we get attracted. In some point in time, we have loved someone, or someone has loved us, and we can, we don't have to teach. For example, if you are in college or school or, if you have to love someone, you don't have to teach them how to love someone. They will do so many things. They will constantly thinking, how can I impress this person? How can I love this person? how can I make an effort, what gift I can give, how can I meet. Intelligently we plan, we'll come this area, this bus, you know, I'll be meeting there. All the, you know, what is the number, which area, where is the bus stop, everything we'll know. You know, we've been constantly thinking and we make plan. Now, our goal is to love Krishna. Now, to love Krishna, for that we should know who is Krishna. So Prabhupada, you know, in India, in the famous quote, is God is great. Now Prabhupada said, you should know how great He is. Just because just saying God is great, what is there? We should know how great Krishna is. We should know how Krishna's energy is. We should know how Krishna's opulence is. That's why we should read Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita to get the detail of that person who is all attractive. It is not an artificial thing for a living entity to get attracted to Krishna, because Krishna is all attractive. So it's like a natural. For example, if you have an iron and a magnet, it's a natural phenomenon that the iron will get attracted to magnet. But if the iron has some rusting or some dirt or some dust, then there will be a problem. Then you have to scratch and clean the iron. So similarly, our, you know, the eternal constitutional position, the soul is naturally attracted to Krishna, but because of material contamination, it is having some problem. And for that, Mahaprabhu is giving a, you know, solution that you have to do Cheto Darpana Marjanam, that you need to scratch and clean the rust and the iron filling in the magnet. So if you do that, then you can love Krishna. So again coming, so that is the sambandha and that is the goal. And see the process. So the process is, Krishna says, at the time of death, you have to remember me. When you are leaving this body, you have to remember me. So all the rules and regulation, all the do's and don'ts is that you always remember Krishna and you never forget Krishna. This is the golden principle, golden rule. And to achieve that, then all other supportive devotional activities are performed. Now, to remember Krishna, there is one easy secret. So, to remember something or to remember someone, for the, if you are in love with that person, then you will remember that person very easily. So here, you know, Bhrigu Muni is saying, they are actually unable to understand how you live in every living entity as a super soul, nor can they understand your absolute position. So in Bhagavad Gita, we know that if you want to remember something or if you want to forget something, that's not in our control. If you are preaching to someone or you forget something which is important, certain points you will tell, but you will never thought, you know, it will come. If you are speaking to some new people, they are asking questions or, you know, clarification. Because Krishna as a super soul will help you to remember what you have read. Or so yesterday I went to a hospital, and he is my friend, and his son had some problem. This was 2 weeks back. He got some fits, you know, seizure, like a shock, and it, you know, it will block the lungs and heart and all the functions.
Epilepsy.
Not epilepsy, is something like, still they are researching, they can't find out what is the problem. They can't diagnose it. So then he got admitted. He's a small boy, 8 years old boy. And then he was in critical condition. Then they said, you know, he is getting more of this shock and seizure quite often, every hour, every 2 hours. So what we thought is, we're going to put him in coma, induced coma, so that his brain is not very active. So that time, you know, that way we can save his life. So then they gave a dosage and then he went in coma. So for like 5 days, 6 days he was in coma. Then after that he was recovering. So when he came back, he don't know who his father, who is his mother. He don't know anything, like complete blank. Like, you know, he will be there, he will be sitting and that's it. And then they gave him the rehabilitation, some program, some, you know, reducing the dosage. So now, you know, he is slowly recovering. Very, like, you know, he can, now he know his father, mother. But he can't, you know, if he can't think, then it gives him stress in his brain and he, you know, he can't do anything. And when he came up, he said to his mother, when we will go to ISKCON? And the nurse came night and he was chanting Hare Krishna. The boy had come to temple regularly. And yesterday I asked him, you know, you remember, his father asked him, you remember the tree? Then he said, yeah, I remember the tree. I used to climb on the top of the tree. And I used to play in the fish pond. So I was telling to his father that the fact that we can remember something is not in our control. We forget something, we want to recollect, or we want to, you know, cram some knowledge, it's not in our control. The super soul is there, he is the sanctioner. He is the maintainer, he is the permitter, and he is the witness, and he is the observer. He has to sanction things to happen in our body. Otherwise, it's very difficult for us to remember and come up with something. So if we understand that the super soul is then the body, then we can see the hand of Krishna in every action. Otherwise, it's very difficult for us to understand how things are happening. Even the material nature, you know, there are many people, you know, in Bhagavad Gita we can see that if a soul is endeavoring or desiring to do certain activity, then the material nature has to facilitate the body or the kshetra, and the particular demigod who is control of particular organ or particular, you know, ingredient, he has to be sanctioned, he is to be, you know, helping, and the super soul has to sanction everything. There are so many people are there. If you have taken birth, the moment you have taken birth, it implies that we are in debt to so many people. So Bhagavatam says, we are in debt to all the devatas who are in control of the material nature, because we use them. We use sun, we are using the water, we are using all the ingredients. We are, you know, if you want to move the eyelid also, there is a demigod. So we are indebted to them. We are indebted to all the rishis, because they have given all the knowledge. In Vedas you see all the field, all the subject matters, all the knowledge are given by them, and we are using that. So we are indebted to the rishis, we are indebted to the forefathers, we are indebted to the parents, we are indebted to so many people. So, but then, if you take the devotional service and serve Krishna, then you are not obliged to their them. Because if you water the root of the tree, then all the twigs and leaves and branches of the tree are get satisfied. Or if you feed the food to the stomach, then all the limbs and organs of the body are satisfied. So then you don't have to satisfy each and individually. So that is what we have to satisfy Krishna by chanting His holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's the easy way of remembering Krishna. Because Krishna and His name is non-different. We have this wonderful opportunity, and because you know, Prabhupada in the nectar of instruction, Prabhupada actually write, devotional service means it's a fortunate opportunity. It's not it's not something which is common, really found in this world. Because it's a very, very rare thing. It's a very sudarlabha. Because with that devotional service, you can control Krishna Himself. For Krishna, there are thousands and lakhs of Lakshmis are waiting to serve Him. And if we can get an opportunity to do service or devotional service, then, you know, we are in a very fortunate position. So that, we have to do it with a very endeavor, with intelligence and with patience and with enthusiasm. So this remembering of Krishna is the process where we can achieve the love of Godhead. And it's not that, you know, some people, you know, it's an advantage or, you know, like a bias to some people or, you know, not. Because here it says, it's common, you know, like even Krishna, he is favoring everyone. Even the demons get favored. And when we are chanting, then you have that all the opportunity to connect and to experience Krishna in your life. And everyone has that opportunity. It's that, like, if for what I have you know, in my recent services, I'm not able to do certain services, or not able to, you know, read or listen because, you know, traveling. And not in, you know, in proper state of consciousness. But one thing which can help you, and it can help everyone, is your chanting. Whatever time, your 2 hours or 1 hour, whatever time you are chanting, just disconnect from whatever designation, whatever roles, whatever state of thing you are, leave that. And just try to chant at least one mantra, one word attentively. Because to get that love, or, you know, it's, as I said, it's not, it's a mercy. Here, you know, if you see in the purport also, one should depend only on the costless mercy of the Lord for deliverance and not even slightly on one's own strength. So, when we are actually chanting or doing some devotional service, we should actually give that quality effort. Okay, let me try to hear the name properly. Let me trying to put, because if you chant attentively or inattentively, the time is same. It's going to take 2 hours. Even if you're in autopilot mode, it will take 2 hours. Doesn't matter if you're chanting 16 rounds attentively or unattentively. And the attentive chanting, even one mantra is enough to get you that love of Godhead. But to get that one mantra right, you got the 16 rounds of opportunity. It's only one mantra. You know, we didn't have like, you know, 1728 posters are here like that. It's just one mantra only. And this one mantra we are repeating. And you have all the opportunity of 16 rounds to get that one mantra correct. Even one word correct. Then your life is successful. So that why, you know, when I'm chanting or, you know, trying to chant, I like to get that one mantra at least correct. That's all. The effort is one. Because to, you know, if you see, to get that 16 round, you know, perfect, you know, it's a long, long, long way to go, at least for me. So at least that one mantra or one mala, you know, trying to, then, because why I'm saying is, this is what will make you to go forward in devotional service. That experience of chanting, that experience of Krishna in your life is the what you will able to carry forward irrespective of so many obstacles in devotional service. Because at the end of the day, you know, if you read the, you know, Rupa Goswami, or if you read the scripture, they talk about this experience of, you know, how they are tasting this holy name. How this, you know, Mahaprabhu, you know, the Sistashtakam, you know, so many things. Because, you know, they are showing, you know, the way, or they, you know, they're showing us. You know, you can also experience. Because then you when you have that experience, at least, you know, you won't give up that chanting. Because the first thing is we give up is, you know, the chanting. Because we think it's mechanical or it is not getting anywhere. Because, you know, physically when you do service or when we do certain things, we have this sense of achievement. I've done this service. But when it comes to chanting, you know, we have this feeling, you know, oh, this is, you know, just, you know, I have to do because I have given a vow that I will chant. I just have to, you know, get rid of this. Some or other, you know, do the quota and then move on. At least we should have this consciousness that at least, you know, I will try to do better. And then, you know, move forward. So that is the process. The process is to remember Krishna. And that remembrance becomes easy when you are in love with Krishna. And that it help when it comes to chanting. So when you do that, then it is easy. And it also helps to come out of this bodily consciousness. Yeah, I'll just stop here. And if you see, you can stop here now. I'll stop here, and if you see anyone has any correction or any comments, questions. Yes, really. Yeah, sometimes we are not feeling well, sometimes we are sick. Question is, sometimes we are in stress, sometimes the body, you know, for, you know, problem, and then how do we able to get this determination of chanting attentively? Is that right? That's right? Okay. Yeah, so even when we are not feeling well or even we are not sick, we know certain time of the day we are good. Like you are refreshed, you are you know clear, and you have energy. That time we should chant at least some rounds. And what I've seen is, if you chant 16 rounds in one go, at least you will have some sense that I've chanted today. Otherwise, at the end of the day, you will be thinking whether I finished my rounds or not, even though you chanted 16 rounds. Because what, you know, if you chant 16 rounds, the first 4 rounds is the time at least your mind is ready for absorption. Because it takes time when you are chanting first round, second round, because your mind is very active and you have done so many activities, it has to settle down and come to a position that you are listening the mantra. It takes time. So you need to give time for that. And for that, you need to chant continuously long round, at least 8, 12 rounds like that. If you do 16 rounds, that is too good actually, because the mind will give so much of problem. If you chant 8 rounds, after 8 to the next lot, it will give you so much, you know, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to, you know, you didn't do that, you can do after some time, you know, come on, you've done 12 rounds, you know, 4 rounds, you leave it. So 1 round, okay, you know, and it will also calculate, you know, while going here 1 round, while coming there another 2 rounds, while traveling 2 rounds, and, you know, I'm meeting this person 2 rounds, yeah, done, okay, 16 done, like that. So it comes up with so many, you know, ideas and radical thought. But one day, okay, fine, you know, one day not mechanical chanting, I've done so many days. One day, okay. But next day, you know, come back in track. So, okay, next day also like that. Okay, next day, you know, you switch off your mobile, put it in light mode or something, and, you know, sometime make this determination that I'm not going to get rid of the beat back till I chant 16 rounds straight. Whatever it happens, that's it. So you make, you know, I heard one lecture in Sachinandan Maharaj saying that you have to make a sankalpa. And when you make that sankalpa and when you achieve that, then you are actually strengthening the mind control and, you know, the power. Because you are determined. So we know, according to one's ability and, you know, one can do, okay, I'll do 4 rounds straight, like, you know, 8 rounds straight, chant, you know, sit and chant. Because, you know, if you actually see, when you are sitting and chanting, you are engaging most of the senses in the service of Krishna. Right? Because the senses are, when you do other activities, the senses are, you know, let loose. But when you are sitting, the senses are also with you and the mind is also with you and they are very active. So for example, if you are chanting, you are engaging your tongue, you are engaging your ears, you are engaging your sense of touch, and you can also see Maha Mantra, so engaging your eyesight. So most of the senses are under control, then it, you know, it's easy for the mind to just you know, absorb. Because the mind nature is to escape, and you know, we have to make sure that, and then after some time, you know, you will have that peace and calmness, okay, fine, you know, and let me chant and hear, then you have to, you know, finish it off. So, you know, that is what I guess. Yes, Prabhu. 1 minute. Yes, Prabhu. Mahatma Prabhu.
Mahatma, what happened to your friend, son? He started chanting, what happened?
Yesterday, he was recovering well. Then yesterday, again, he got this shock. So, they given him some dosages and... So, he is recovering. But he is not in full, like, you know. Yeah, he has beats. He has. He likes to chant. Yesterday he saw me beats and he said, "This beat looks different." my bead, you know, it's orange color. You know we, how we give the small one? He said, this bead is, this is big beads. And then I chanted with him for some time. Then he said, yeah, he can't take big, like he can't, if he comes out, if he see red light, he can't take it like that. Too much in anything. So too many people, too much sound. So his father is favorable. He is very conducive to Krishna consciousness, and mother, everyone is good. So it takes time. Hopefully, as I said, Krishna within has to help.
Excellent.
Yes, please. So in we have in Nectar of Instruction, you know, six things we should avoid, right? Prajalpa, Niyamagraha, then association. But the obstacle which is outside is secondary, but the obstacle comes from within. Sometimes we get mental about things. You know, why we are doing, you know, what is not bringing anything to me. I can't see any good, any material profit. Because this is our material conditioning, that if you do any activities, we do it result-oriented, that we get something out of it. That I get something, what is in it for me? If I do certain activity, I always think, what is in it for me? How can I get profit? How can I get benefit? What is my commission? How my fame will increase by doing this activity? How many people will recognize? Who are my objective? Who am I impressing? So many factors are there in material realm. But in devotional service, the very thought that I want to do is actually success. Because it helps you, first of all, you know, if we are doing certain activity, devotional activities, and we know that this activity is not recognized by many people, and we know that this activity is not rewarded, and we know that we are not getting anything out of it, only for the pleasure of Krishna we are doing, then actually that will help us to make happy. So when we do this catering, so we do this musical festival catering, and this music festival catering is like 5 days, 6 days, and you need to do, like, everyone does a shift of 14-15 hours, and we do 24/7 like that, and then no proper sleep in a camping. So I was talking to one of this new boy. He doesn't have any devotional background. He just came with us for voluntary. So I asked him, how was it? He said, you know, this is the most blissful experience I have in my life, because here I can happily do, you know, anything, because, you know, everyone is so happy. He works in a restaurant for 3 hours. After that he complains a lot. I cannot do with this anymore. There's so much work to do. You know, I cannot do. Because that sense of, you know, satisfying a boss or, you know, doing it for oneself, it actually, you know, does not satisfy the soul. One cannot understand this is only a satisfaction for the soul, but when you are in devotee, you can realize. You know, see, the activities, anyway people do. Outside world, they are like, you know, they are working so hard. And, you know, they are like, you know, very focused, you know. And what is it for, you know, for satisfying oneself? or satisfying the boss or getting more money. But we know at the end of the day they are not going to be happy. But when a devotee does it, if he has this knowledge that he is doing it for Krishna, then he can go on. And you know, this, as I said, this example, that this boy, you know, he worked 12, 13 hours and didn't sleep and then worked again. And he was feeling so happy because he know this, whatever we are doing, whatever we are collecting, we are giving for the pleasure of Radha Vallabha, or we are giving it for Krishna. And that sense of, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not getting anything. So for example, if you're using a product or using anything, and if you know it's not yours, you will use it nicely, in a good way. So similarly, when we are doing this devotional service, obstacle within, from within it comes. It will, you know, it will, you know, it will make you think, you know, better off I would have done something else, I would have, you know, been in different, I would have, you know, spent much time in that. Why would I have spent, you know, for example, in chanting also, materialistic people will say, you know, why you are chanting this, you know, Rama, Krishna, you know, 2 hours every day. Hourly rate is there, you know, 2 hours if you work, you'll get money. Because they can't understand. So, but at least we have to have that experience. That's what I was saying, actually, you know. We don't have to convince many people. At least we should be happy for ourselves what we are doing. We don't want 100 people vote that you are happy or not. We have to be, you know, happy, and at the end of the day, you know that you are doing it for Krishna and you have this connection with Krishna. That's all. And for that, you can, you know, we can read this, you know, I was telling this Net of Instruction. Such a powerful book. And in the introduction, Prabhupada write in that book that this book is for neophyte devotees. But actually the content is so heavy, you know. In neophyte, I... No, can you give me a break? You know, this is for neophyte, and when you read the first verse only, you have to control mind, everything, you know. I thought the book is light, you know, light book, you know. The book is a lightweight book, but actually if you open and read, you know, it's like, you know, paap re, like, you know, you have to, you know, do everything, you know, it will make you Goswami. That's what the book says, you know. The book says, it's for neophyte, okay, Godas. Now if you read, then finish the book, you'll become a Goswami. So, you know, if you read that book, like that book, obviously, you know, you're trying to follow certain principles and, you know, then you can able to have that check. I hope that will your answer here. Yeah. Okay.
So,
yeah, yeah. Now you tell. Tell them. Yeah, yeah.
Every time I come here, listen to the class, they talk about sense gratification, sense gratification. What does it mean?
Sense gratification, gratifying the senses. Gratification of senses. That means you have eyes, and the eyes demand something to see, you want to see, and you satisfy the eyes. You have tongue, do you want to eat palatable things? And the tongue demands, and then you eat. Without any restriction, without any principle, just following, and the senses carry you and drag you. And you are satisfying the senses, and you are spending your life in satisfying in each and every senses. We are not this body means we are spirit soul within this body. So we have body which is we see, that is gross, and then we have another body which we can't see, that is subtle, and then we have another body which is spiritual. So we have three body. So what we are saying is we are spiritual body which is inside this gross and subtle body. So mostly we think we are this body, That is illusion. So when we do sense gratification, it will make you, bound you and think that you are this body. When you do devotional service, you can able to realize that you are not this body, you are spiritual. Okay? Yes. Nandri. Okay. Thank you. Mantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gopremanand.